Mom, Dad, I'm not throwing shade, but the whole New Year's resolution thing, kind of slipping, no offense. Anyway, my best friend Jenny's dad, crushing it. He uses Blue Apron. He says he ordered one pan assemble and bake meals and these things called meal kits. They're all super easy to make. He keeps yelling, protein and fiber, baby. Also, the food, we tried it. So good. So maybe you check it out or whatever. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is The Good Life, food, wine, and all the good things of life. Now, here's the host of The Good Life, Guy Bauer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the program. I'm glad you're here with us today. Have you been outside yet? Put on your bathing suit, wet your hair down, and walk out front. Oh, my goodness. I was in the hot tub this morning, and when I got out, I thought my feet were going to stick to the frozen concrete. But you know, it is winter. This is the way it's supposed to be. I'm glad you're with us. We're going to have a lot of fun today. I'll tell you about that in a minute, but a couple things I got to tell you about. Have you heard of Walker's Jazz Club in Old Town? It's such a cool place. You just got to take a look. And my good friend Denny Giosa is coming back, and drummer Kim Trujillo and guitar player Roberto Bernardadello are going to be playing there. It's January 31st, but wait, it's not just great music. 6 to 7:30, starting with an Italian wine tasting. Denny's a big Italian wine aficionado. And, man, it's just, you got to give it a chance. You got to go. Walker's Jazz Lounge is at 252 North Mosley Street here in Old Town. You go to their website, or more importantly, cruise up Walker's Jazz Lounge on Eventbrite, and there's a link there. And I imagine if you go to their website, you can find it too. Walker's Jazz Club in Old Town, January 31st, Denny Giosa and gang. It's going to be a lot of fun. I wish I was going to be here, but I will be laying on the beach in Mexico. And don't forget that very interesting character from several TV shows that we know and love. Kelsey Grammer is going to be in town. He's going to be at Jacob Liquor Exchange January 29th. I'll miss that one, too. He's making a beer. He's kind of worked a deal with one of our local beer places, and I hope they make it here eventually. But it's interesting. He's going to be all over town. If you just type in Kelsey Grammer Wichita, if you get the Wichita Eagle, you probably saw it. Denise Neal had a nice article, and you should look at that. Anyway, so let me take a break, get my breath back. My window left. Oh, there it is. Come back. I had the opportunity to go down to Oxford, Kansas. You know, it's a teeming metropolis right on Main Street. It's very crowded. Don't go during rush hour. And there's a storefront called the Flying Toad Farms. And I had heard about it, and recently I got gifted a bottle of Some Like It Hot, a hot sauce that they make there. And I got to go. It was probably, Guy Likes Hot. You've heard me talk about this no matter what. And probably one of my most favorite hot sauces in years. And I eat a lot of different ones. The balance of spice and flavor and, oh, my goodness. And so joining us is Josh Wheeler and Shayla from Flying. Well, you know what? I want you to talk the story. I had the pleasure of meeting your dad. First off, welcome to The Good Life.
Thank you.
All right. Josh, talk about your beginning. Lead it up into Dad and you getting together to make the farm, and then we'll go from there.
Well, okay. Well, this is actually very surreal. After I got out of college, I went to work at Spirit. My dad had worked there he retired from there a few years ago, and did good. Did hourly for a while, and then got into management, and had the West Side Machine Shop, and it was great guys in there. It got pretty weird all of a sudden, and it was just kind of changes at the top with the CEO and the direction they were going. Mm-hmm. I just kind of thought, maybe this isn't the greatest thing. So I had a I took a job down at Strother Field at General Electric down there overseeing one of their engine overhaul shops. And long story short, I three trips to rehab, and I had nothing. They, of course, fired me, and it was totally justified. And I thought, well, if I've pretty much failed everything the way I'm going to do it, so we just I said, I'm going to grow tomatoes, because I thought that was probably the most ridiculous thing. And I thought, this will fail, and then I can gripe and say everybody's against me, and, you know, it is. And it's really turned into something pretty great. The Flying Toad name comes from – it's my nephew's nickname, and he's special needs, and he is nonverbal, but he's super smart, loves to work. And, like, you know, no matter where it takes him, where life takes him, he'll always have something to do here at the Toad, you know. And he thinks he's famous. It's great. And he comes to the market, and it's really a good thing for him. And it's really a lot of customers really – they seem to appreciate what we do. And we try to make everything as simple as possible and good. I love it when people walk up and they say, are these hothouse tomatoes? And no, they're not. Get them, you know. And they come back and they're like, those are great tomatoes.
Yeah.
And that's all I could ask for. And it's just, it's really taken on a life of its own. And we just kind of figured out a way to do kind of a geothermal greenhouse, to where we just dug down about 6 feet and buried a bunch of tubing, and you can force that air out back into the greenhouse on the other end, and it's always 60 degrees. So once we figured out kind of the regulating the temperature with all the greenhouses, it was just a matter of getting the infrastructure set up and getting the rhythm of what actually does good inside. And it's been good. This is the first season we're growing actual fruit into the winter, and the tomatoes are green on the vine. And I just don't know when they're going to start breaking color, but we will do some indoor farmers markets this winter, probably next month, and just have some charred and cold weather crops, a few tomatoes, till we get that figured out. But all the seedlings are doing good. Got the plastic on the other greenhouse, and we're going to plant that, and that'll be the tomatoes for this year. And we usually start getting a pretty good crop about the end of May.
Wow.
So yeah.
Well, you grow a lot of stuff, and you. I think you do something that those who think they want to eat organic, or, you know, you do that in a manner that's probably better than most.
Yeah, we just don't want the price to scare people away. And we want people to know that just because you go to a farmer's market doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be that expensive. You know, and it's not – we can do it and get everything we need to do at a reasonable price, and everybody thinks they get a good deal. And we, you know, if you ever happen to get something bad from us, just come back and tell us. Like with the melons, if you get a bad one, we'll give you a free one. And usually it doesn't happen very often, but we'll have maybe five cantaloupes a year and two watermelon
out of
10 acres. Yeah, I mean, it does happen. And then, you know, people.
Yeah, sure. I think to go from your technical background and to go back to the earth and do what you do, I trust you are self-taught, and, you know, you had to learn about what types of soil that will be the best for the things that you plant,
right,
and how you fertilize and keep it organic and natural. Pretty difficult chore?
Yeah, I just didn't think – I was raised around a garden. My grandparents are from – I mean, they were – poverty in Arkansas. I mean, no electricity till he was 15. And when they came here, my great grandpa and grandpa, they always just had huge gardens. And I was just always out there when I was a little kid and fascinated by it. And I never really thought it'd be a way you could make a living. It was just something fun. And the technical stuff, I knew how to run a business, but I really didn't know how to run a small business. I knew how to run funny money at Spirit. You know, it's just not real when you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. And when you're talking about 10 grand, it's a little bit different of a ball game you're playing with. And so, yeah, we're kind of figuring out as we go and putting up more greenhouses. And like I said, making the sauce out of the extra. And it's seems
talk
to be
about
good.
The greenhouses. There's an interesting story of how you came about getting a deal on these greenhouses.
My father-in-law had found a place. It was called Greenhouse in the Snow in Nebraska, and it was this guy that was 90 years old, and he grew citrus, and he dug down and did the geothermal thing. So we had a high tunnel that really, it was really pretty useless, so it was impossible to heat. So we turned it sideways and put that tubing in there and then sprayed insulation on the north wall. So it's only half open, and it's perfect. You can regulate the temperature really easy. And like I said, I only ran heat three times the entire winter last winter, and I've got a little propane umbrella going right now, and it was 50 when we left. So
wow,
it's just figuring out how to keep that heat in there is.
And this is just heavy duty plastic over a frame.
Yeah, and then we got some construction like you would spray in your studs on the wall mm-hmm. on the north. And it's covered with metal, so it adhered to that metal. And then the south side is always open.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I honestly thought he was crazy at first. But we were burning so much money in propane just to keep hanging baskets alive.
Yeah.
That was probably the point when you just didn't think it was really going to work. I mean, you just can't run two umbrellas, the biggest pellet stove Atwood's had, and a wood stove and barely gain 10 degrees. So
And have to do it when the winter's bad almost full time.
Well, and that's the thing. We really kind of sat down and thought about it. And there's really, in our zone, there's only maybe 25 nights you got to get through just to be able to grow all year. Because it's something like that. It's no trouble. If it's not under 15 degrees, we don't even really worry about it. Yeah. It's the heat in the daytime. That's really more dangerous than the cold, honestly, because it'll be 90 degrees if there's any sun.
And do you have to kind of open it up?
Yeah, we do. And that'll keep it keeps the humidity down a little bit in there also. And that was the only problem I've had was a little bit of fungus on some radishes. But I think we've kind of figured that out. And whiteflies love it in there. But we, little neem oil, once I figured out what it was good. So
I know we're going to talk about some of the salsa. Mm-hmm. But I've been sitting here eating it while you talk. Thank you for doing that. Just real quick, what all are you producing? So when we come down there in May or late May or June, obviously seasonal stuff, so I imagine lettuces and things first. And,
right.
Just run through a real quick off the top of your head.
Sure. The way that we kind of set it up was it was the worst thing about a farmer's market is you go and the vendors doesn't have what you want. So we always will have tomatoes, zucchini, yellow squash, cucumbers, red and yellow candy onions, red deuce tomatoes. And then we'll, like when we do our produce boxes, then we'll swap out this kind of the specialty ingredient or specialty crop of that time period, like green beans early and late, okra when it's hot, and then melons. And people seem to like that where we're always going to have that, you know, and that was – we kind of simplified everything. We grow candy onions. We grow red deuce tomatoes. We grow just one variety of everything for the market. And then in the other greenhouses, we get kind of weird with the colored tomatoes and the purple. Because purple tomatoes they're the best tomatoes to eat fresh, but they do not keep. And I think I've grown eight different varieties just trying to find one that would kind of – we could transport it up here and it not just be totally destroyed by the time we get up here.
Which brings up a good point. As it warms up and we start having fresh tomatoes mm-hmm. early in the season, when are you open? I know you work the farmers market in Derby. What other places can folks come find you?
We're kind of in limbo as far as anywhere but Derby right now. We did Kichai on Thursday night, and the guy who was kind of overseeing that passed away, and they stopped doing it probably September. I can't really remember when it was. And so Valley Center had been asking us, and we went out there for a couple times just after that shut down, and we're kind of looking for a spot on Thursday just to kind of fill that void, because it's easy for us to do the market on Saturday, kind of have time to get everything boxed up and redone, and then go again on Thursday. Yeah. And that's why usually when the store's open, we'll be open Wednesday through Sunday. And usually Monday and Tuesday gives us time to kind of
– have a weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of goes with the territory, but you also think you're not really doing anything for 3 or 4 months out of the year, so I'm just watching plants grow.
And one of the things I like about it is your dad helped you get started, and he's a great guy.
Right.
and you've got Shayla and an army of future farmers,
yeah,
and your children, and they're learning so much about everything, about life, and how to grow their own food, and
hard work,
and hard work pays.
And it's like satisfying to harvest what you've sown, and then they enjoy just reaping the benefits.
Yeah, they're learning a lot, but it's so cool. And folks, if you've heard me, I've been crunching on. Is this garlic smoked before you pickle it?
It's cold smoked, and then we kind of use a. It just kind of cuts that bite of that garlic on it, you know. It makes it palatable. Our kids eat that garlic. It's really good.
It's really good. Well, we'll come back. We'll talk about some of the sauces here. Let's take a break. We're talking about. You got to go to Facebook. Find Flying Toad Farms. That's where I imagine Shayla. Do you? Are you work the Facebook page?
Diana.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. So, you know, they'll put things that are coming up and what's available and hours and locations. And you think that Generations is still going to carry stuff out west?
Yeah, as far as I know, I probably need to go out there and restock. But she usually sends me a note when I need to go out there and make that happen. But, yeah, I mean, we just started selling this last August, I think, was the first time. And I've only really ever taken it out in the actual wild to sell it three times. So everybody just kind of knew you could get it at the store. Just because at the farmer's market, our footprint's so big. If we added a salsa, it'd just be five booths. And it'd be, I don't think people would like
that.
Well,
and your family's not quite big enough yet.
No, not yet. It's I don't think we're working on that. But I definitely, you know, my parents, my dad loves it, and you know, he deals with the Amish and stuff when we need to do stuff like that and kind of supplement. And I couldn't have done it without them because nobody was going to loan me any money.
I love it. If you're interested in food and you go, oh, I don't want to buy that organic stuff, it's ugly and the tomatoes have blemishes and they're not perfectly shaped or not perfectly red, get over it. The best food you've ever had comes off of a vine that you know who grew it. It's fresh and it tastes like a real tomato. It's getting hard to find that.
You know,
I love all the pretty tomatoes that Dylan's has, and we eat them all the time.
That's what I tell everybody at the market. The ugly produce is good, so I say it just like me. It's ugly but good. So it's you want the damaged stuff. That's the stuff you know is ripe. It's good. It might not be the prettiest, but that's going to be the best bang for your buck, I think.
I love it. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Josh Wheeler and his lovely wife Shayla are here in the studio. I think a lot of radios down in the beautiful town of Oxford are probably tuned to KNSS. I hope you'll stay right there. We'll be right back after this short break.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.